Welcome to our sessions. Yes, I'm Nico.
And my name is Lillian Kossum, and today we're going to be talking to you guys about cognitive services. Has anyone heard of them before? Yeah, okay, great.
Wow.
Most of you, that's really good.
Impressive.
Yeah, so cognitive before we actually get started with this session, I'd like to impose a few questions on you guys, such as what if? It's a pretty heavy question, actually. What if we knew which product that Joe was most likely to buy? Or what if we knew whether Sarah was going to come back and shop with us next month? Or maybe what if we knew how people felt about our products, how their emotions was when they interacted with our products, or how they feel when using a service? They're all great business questions that we should always be asking ourselves. But they all can be solved by machine learning. And that requires a lot of data and a lot of time and a lot of algorithms to be written and perfected. And it usually looks something like this. And it's pretty scary. I can sit here and talk to you guys about linear models, regression, multi-layered neural networks, and deep learning, but we don't need to have that discussion because other people have been doing that for us. Whether it's IBM, Google, or Microsoft, we've created a bunch of APIs that allow you to take advantage of all these machine learning algorithms that we've been perfecting for years. Essentially, all this is basically all of this wrapped up in a REST API that you can use. So that's exactly what our talk is about today. It's about how you can leverage these APIs to make the most of them, how you can use them in your applications and services, and how you can give your applications a human side so you can have more human and natural interactions with your users. So there's loads of them available. We're going to cover a few of these off today, and Nico's going to start us off with the Vision API.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Lillian. Vision API. The Vision API enables our app to see and understand the world of our users. So we have, first of all, the classical computer vision, which we can use to analyze an image. Here, for instance, it's a man swimming. And if we call this REST API, we are getting back a JSON, which includes different features. For instance, it tells us the dominant color. You can use it for content moderations, so it determines if the picture is racy or not. But what I really like about it is that we are also receiving a description of the picture. So if you can see in the content of image, it says text, a man swimming in a pool of water, and then a confidence factor. So it actually tells us how confident the system is that a man really is swimming in this picture. This can be really helpful. And I can also, I would like to show you the portal. Here. So you can access it simply by typing Microsoft/cognitive. And you can get an overview of all the APIs because there are like 23 in total. Here they are. Let's go to the vision one. Here you can see some examples. So this one is really the one that I showed you before, but we can also choose the one here, for instance. Hopefully the internet works well, yes. And we're getting, again, JSON back, which has also text, so we can use it for image tagging. But it, again, has also a description. Here, a man riding a skateboard. So it's in natural language. It's not just, oh, here is the category. It really gives us a response back, like the app can talk to us and understands our world better. Here we can also test it in the console. For that, I need my subscription key. The subscription key can be also taken out from the cognitive services portal. So in the portal, if you click on my account, you receive this. You get to this page, and here you have all the APIs, I mean, the one you need. In my case, I'm trying out quite a lot of them. And you can see the computer vision. You can copy the key and then use it in the console. And I have this picture of a woman drinking. And I'm just copying here the URL. And then if I'm sending send, I will get a positive response, 200. And yeah, it's a people portrait. OK, good. So let's switch back. Another feature which seems mundane but is actually very useful is generating smart thumbnails. Because if you need thumbnails in your app, usually simply automatically scale a picture. And if you can see here, for the person below, the face is cut off, so it's not very practical. But if you set smart cropping on in this Vision API, you can retain the key content of the image. So it's very useful. And another feature that I really like is the object content recognition, short OCR, which we can use to detect and recognize text within an image. So for instance, if I'm traveling and I'm somewhere maybe, I don't know, in Greece, I can just take a picture of the text, and then the text is recognized, and I can use the translation API on top of it and get a translation back. So it can be very useful. We can also see an example on that. This one is a WPF app, which you can find on GitHub. And if I'm starting it, it shows the different image vision API features. And one of them is the recognized text. And if I'm just using the one that they have there, it's performing the OCR. And then I'm receiving back, travel the world, see the sites, and so on. I will actually get a JSON back with also with the position of the text, so where it is. We can also look at the code. Okay, let me stop the app. First of all, we are using the SDK for this one, so we are just referencing the NuGet package, which is called Microsoft.ProjectOxford.vision, because before cognitive services were called Project Oxford, so that might be a bit confusing. And then we can reference it here. As you can see, so we are using it. We are also initializing a vision service client. And then we can simply call it here. We are using an image file stream. And then I can call the vision service client dot analyze image in domain. And I'm analyzing it. So it's very out of the box, very practical. Here you can see again also the JSON that I'm receiving back. So if you're using the REST API, you would receive this response, and you can handle that in your code. Good. We talked about the more classical computer vision. Let's go one step further. We also can detect faces within pictures. So we can understand if there are humans there. We can also detect landmarks, so where face objects are, like eyes, nose, mouth. And we can also detect attributes, like is the person wearing glasses, or does the person have facial hair? What is the gender of the human who was recognized, and what age does it have? The age is, of course, more of an estimation. And then we can also group it. So we can group pictures with the same faces together and use it for face identification. A really nice example that uses that was created by Uber. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with Uber. It's this service that you can use to book a ride. And they use the face API for real-time ID check for the drivers so that the people feel more safe with using it. Exactly. But this is like a more serious scenario. There are also fun scenarios, like this one.
Wait, hold on. Did you Photoshop this?
No.
I'm 23, and you're 28. So
I'm 28, yes.
I think this is cheating.
Lillian, don't forget, it says how old you look like, not how old you are.
Oh, burn.
So yeah, this one can be really fun. I would also like to show it live.
I'm not doing it live.
Come on. Does someone want to try it out?
Okay, anyone?
Come on. Oh, let's try it. Come. So it recognizes our faces, takes a snapshot, and then we...
Oh my God! That's it. The talk's over. We're not doing this anymore.
You're just tired. That's why.
That's embarrassing.
Good. Let's go back. Okay, so this is the face API. We are recognizing the faces and the landmarks, so we can actually use this information to also detect emotions, because we express a lot with our faces. And the emotion API, it's also very useful. We are receiving back a JSON that includes 8 universal emotions. So these are emotions that are expressed worldwide, like anger or contempt or sadness, happiness. And we're receiving these emotions and a confidence score, so we know which emotions are probably expressed in this picture. Okay, so I actually have a demo for this one. I forgot about this. A mall kiosk. So imagine if people just pass by your kiosk and you can recommend them products. And you can make it more personalized by identifying the age of that person. So 26 is still okay. Okay. I'm actually not a big football fan, but interesting recommendation. Let's try it also together. No. What do you think?
Is it going to say I'm 50 now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm getting younger, so it's a good thing.
So now it recognizes that we are two persons looking at this Windows shop, and it recommends going to a restaurant. I don't know. I think it looks pretty cool, but what do you think?
I think it's too expensive.
Now, I don't know if you noticed, but there's like a slider, and it went to the red area because we used the speech-to-text, and it recognized that she said, I think it's too expensive. And it seems to be a negative feeling. We are using the text analytics. And because it's a negative feeling, we could, for instance, provide an alternative. We could recommend something different. So this can be very useful to create a more personalized experience for your users, to engage users to use your product. Good. Now let's go back. Here it's me trying out all the emotion APIs. I was very interested, like, what emotions can I express? Like, how can I fool the system? So here I'm being all neutral, not smiling, not doing anything. Here I'm trying to be like super happy, and it works. I'm 100% happy. But some of the emotions are more harder to get if you're not really feeling them. So here, am I surprised? Yes, I am surprised. Okay.
It's an easy one.
Yeah, the surprise one is actually pretty easy. Good. These are like sample apps that you can also find on GitHub, so you can try them out as well. Here I'm neutral again, but a bit sad and a bit surprised. Good. That was the vision API. Let's go to the speech.
Okay. So there's no faces or age in this one, so I'm safe, I hope. So with speech APIs, I like to think about it in the terms of when human language is the user interface. And this is becoming more apparent in the new interfaces we're going with, for example, chatbots and messaging applications. If you look at the App Store and the usage of apps in the App Store, about 5 of the top 10 are messaging applications. So we like to have conversations. It's very natural to us to speak to each other. So giving that ability to your applications is pretty powerful, especially when they don't have a keyboard or a screen to look at or a mouse to use. But it's not just about speech, it's about text as well. So in scenarios where you want to have a conversation like with a help desk or an IT support, you can have a conversation and that can be helped with the text APIs. So I showed earlier there's several of them. I'm going to focus on a few, such as speech verification, speech recognition, text-to-speech, which Nico just demonstrated earlier, and also the sentiment, which Nico just showed you. And they're all really powerful in their own way. When you can start combining them, you can create really powerful applications that have a more human side. So I'm going to start with my first demo, which is about launching this rocket to that moon. Can anyone tell if that's actually a moon? No? It's a Death Star. All right, so I haven't tried this with a mic. I don't know if it's going to work, but let's give this a shot. Launch. Maybe if I cover my mic up. Launch. Okay, go left. Left. Yes. Almost died. Okay, and we go right. Doesn't like me very much. Right. No.
Right.
Quick. Go right, go right. Oh, God. I'm dying. Okay, so not the best scenario. Maybe it's just my voice. But it's a rocket, and that's actually a pretty powerful asset, and it's really expensive. So I don't want anyone to launch my rocket. It's my rocket.
Not even me?
Not even you. You're the worst.
Come on.
I'm going to enable speech verification so that it only launches with my voice. So let's see if that works. I'm not sure if the internet is with us today, but do you want to try and launch it?
Yes, I will try. Launch.
You have to verify that you're Lillian. Okay. Good luck with that.
My voice is stronger than passwords. My voice is stronger than passwords.
Oh, no launch.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're not good enough.
Oh, man.
I shouldn't have said that because now it might not work for me. I did actually verify this when I was ill, so I probably changed my voice a little since then, but we'll see how that goes. Launch. Okay. Here we go. My voice is stronger than passwords. Fingers crossed. Yes, it's launched. Right, go right. I'm not even good at my own games.
The expensive rockets.
Oh, dear me. Let's go back to the slides for a second. So that was my terrible example of how you can use speech verification to identify a user. So it did identify my voice, which is a good thing. But with other scenarios, you might want to be able to understand the intention of a user. So Language Understanding Intelligence Service, that's LUIS. And what this is about is being able to understand what your user wants or what their intention is when they say something to you and how important that becomes later on in conversational UIs such as chatbots. I'll go into more detail into that, but I'll show you a quick example first. This is me being chased by an elephant. And this is me being chased by an elephant because I asked a bot to Photoshop a picture of me being chased by an elephant. And this is using LUIS. So what's happening here is it's understanding my intention is a what-if question. And then from that phrase, it's able to extract the word I as an entity, which we can then use as a variable in our code. And it's also able to extract being chased by an elephant. So this bot is using several APIs. So it's using LUIS to detect what I'm saying and my intentions and to get these entities down. It's then using the Bing search API, the image search, to search the picture being chased by an elephant to get this picture. And then we're using the face API to find out where the face is in the picture so that we can swap the faces around. So I uploaded a picture, it took my face using the landmarks from the face API, and then it found the face in this picture and swapped them around. So I'm going to try and show you a quick demo again. Oh, my demos don't usually go well. Of LUIS, so how would this work? Right, so let's start with Skype. So if I said something like, what if Bill Gates has a beard? We'll see what that looks like. Ooh, oh dear. I don't think he should wear a beard. My God.
Oh, he's very trendy with a beard.
Very trendy. But actually, my favorite question to ask is, what if, oh, other way around, what if Jon Snow was Snow White? Ooh. Okay, this is my favorite question. Are you guys ready? Oh, no, I didn't cancel it. Oops.
Oh.
Close.
Pretty scary.
I mean, you know, I think it matches up perfectly. So let me show you what LUIS looks like, actually. It's all inside. I might have to actually log in again, but let's try. Oh, I don't. Great. It's all a web interface, so you don't actually have to write any code, but you could use the API to write code and manually make your own models, or you can import other models. So if I created one, I can send you every phrase and every intent of that phrase so that you can reuse my models. So let's call this Murphy. Oh, I'm just going to pick a random one because I don't actually know what category it would be. Oh, failed. Oh, dear. I'm going to blame the internet worst case scenario, but we'll see. Sign in again. New application. Murph, gaming, it's not really a game. All right, there we go. So this is exactly what the LUIS UI looks like. And what we're going to do is create an intention. So my intent is a what-if intent, and we have to give it an example utterance. So I've got a few prepared right here. So what if John Cena had long hair? That's a cool question. So what we can do is then identify some entities. So an entity would be, let's say, the source and the target. What I mean by source is the original image that we want to use. And then I'm going to make another entity and call that the target entity. And what I mean by this one is the target I want to Photoshop the first image onto. So when I said if Jon Snow was Snow White, the target was Snow White and the source was Jon Snow. So what we can do here is say that John Cena is the source. And long hair is the target image we're after. And then you can train it. And we can actually train it on a few, because you do need to give it at least 10. So what if The Rock was short? That would be interesting, considering his huge height. And then short. And then that's another what if. And we can keep going.
You could also import the data.
Yeah, we could import, I should have imported the data. Because now I have to do this manually all the time. So again, this will be the source, and this will be the target. I don't think this is enough to train it. You need at least 10, but because of time, I'm going to try and train it now and see what happens. So we're training the model. And then if we give it another example, it should be able to recognize. Yeah, there you go. It recognized that the intention here was what if, without me telling it. And it recognized that Satya Nadella was the source, and it didn't really get Gates for the target. So I'm going to teach it that Gates is a target. And that's exactly how Lewis works. So if we go back to slides. 2, 3.
So
yeah,
actually, I would really love for you to show the Android sample with
speech. Oh, I forgot to do that. That's a very good point. More demos. Who likes demos? So I've got an Android application this time. And this one is using the API. This is an application. So this is using the speech SDK on Android this time. And it's all about speech to text. So I'm just going to show you how accurately or unaccurately it works. So who knows the Fresh Prince?
It's called differently in German.
Oh, really? What's it called in German?
I actually don't know. Oh, you should ask them.
What's it called in German? Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Just Prince of Bel-Air.
It's
okay.
The same name.
Okay. Usually they have very different names.
Oh, okay. Here we go. In West Philadelphia, born and raised, on the playground where I spent most of my days, chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool, shooting some b-ball outside the school. That's actually pretty accurate.
Even with my Romanian accent?
Yeah.
Apparently, yes.
That's great. So this is real time. This is going over the speech APIs. And this is using the SDK, but it's going over the internet. It's actually crazy accurate and really, really fast, too. So let's get back to my slides. So the rise of the chatbots. This has become kind of this new thing. Bots are the new apps, they keep saying. So has anyone played around with a messaging bot or created one or one person? 2, 3, 4, okay. Cool, so a few of you. So chatbots, like I said earlier, are becoming really, really popular. And we start thinking about human language as the user interface, being able to use cognitive services and machine learning for this scenario actually becomes essential in some ways. Being able to, I don't know, maybe recognize what someone's saying, the intention, so you can direct them down the right conversation route. Being able to understand the sentiment of what users are saying. And I think this one's really important if you have it in the background of your application, because you don't have to tell the user that you're gathering the sentiment, but what you can learn from that is where your users are getting angry, where they're getting frustrated, when they're actually happy with using your application. And when it gets to the point that you realize where the strain points are and where everyone's getting really mad, maybe you can go back and iterate over your application, make it better, and make it less painful for the user. So it's really good for that feedback loop that you want in your applications. Being able to recommend products, that could be whether it's a website, a bot, or even an application. You have to be able to tell the user, hey, I see that you ordered, you know, these gloves. Maybe you want a hat to go with it. And that becomes really useful for the user. Maybe it can even boost sales. So there's loads of scenarios. I'm not going to go into too much detail over all of them. But if you want to find out more, do catch me afterwards. I've been working with bots for a long time now. So hopefully I've kind of mastered it. Here you go.
Oh, cool. So we talked a bit about the speech recognition system, which works really good. But sometimes we have particular scenarios. And then we would like to build our own model. And that's where Chris comes into Spiel, into this German.
In action. It comes
in action.
Yes.
Who is Chris? Chris stands for Custom Recognition Intelligence Service. And it's really great because you can teach it how to understand a particular scenario. Let's take a simple example. We are trying to build a travel planning app, and it will be used in an airport. So we have to think about two criteria. First of all, language. Probably people will ask about airline information. So we'll have some different terms. Terms like airport names or cities will appear more often than everyday conversations. And then second, we have a different acoustic model. So we have a lot of background noise in an airport. We should train the system to work with this background noise. And we can do this with Chris. It's very easy. It's also, we have a UI for that. So you can just provide the data and then click it will train the model for you, and at the end you have a custom model. I would also love to show you a demo how this would look like. Let's see.
I have a picture.
Yeah. So this also, everything is computed on the cloud, and I hope the internet works well enough. Let's try. We have here different samples that we can choose from, and we can listen how it sounds.
Which of these arrive before 9 p.m.?
Okay. So as you see, it's very loud in the background. Let's try it with Chris and with speech.
Which of these arrive before 9 p.m.?
It works great. So on the left side, you can see how the normal speech recognition system works, and on the right side, you can see Chris in action. So Chris really understands which of these arrived before 9. It didn't understand the PM, fortunately. But the baseline, it also works quite well. But sometimes it doesn't understand things because of the background noise. Yeah, so this is an example. We could also use the Louis in the background. Louis, the one that Lilian mentioned before, understands the intent of the user. So let's see how it works.
Which of these arrive before 9 p.m.?
Okay, so we get, in both cases, the intent is flight information. So we have to provide flight information for the user. And this is pretty cool because it shows that Louis, it's great. It understands the intent even though the sentence was not perfectly understood. And the time before 9. So let's go back. We talked now about the speech. And I would really like to take a look also at the recommendations APIs. Because this API actually answers the questions that Lilian asked at the beginning of the session. We can use the recommendation API to engage the users with our product, to create more personalized experience. So we have different options. For instance, we can use the frequently bought together recommendations. Something like a lot of people who bought gloves also bought a coat. So are things that probably the user will be interested in. And then the second one, item-to-item recommendations. So this is more like, I'm sure you know the scenario that Amazon uses, like, hey, people who bought this were also interested in this. So you can simply use data and see what are people interested in and provide these examples to the user. Or you can simply understand better what the activity of your user was, for instance, what kind of movies he usually looks at, and then recommend the movies that he might be interested in. Exactly. So,
yeah. So a lot of the applications we showed you were using the APIs. So my speech demo was actually using the SDK. What we're trying to say here is that you don't have to use an SDK. You can just do HTTP calls, which works everywhere. It's pretty much platform agnostic. Or you can use an SDK, which is available on iOS, Android, Node, C#, and even some of them are available in Python. So it really doesn't matter what platform you're building for or what language you're using. We have loads of SDKs available. And even when the SDK isn't there, HTTP clients are everywhere. So
yeah, that's true. Great. So we looked at some of the APIs presented here. We actually considered more the categories vision, speech, and language, a bit of knowledge, because there's where the recommendations API are. But there are much more. So we have like 23 in total. So I would really recommend to you that you look at all of them and see which one suits your use case better. You can see the examples on the website. So yeah, but it's interesting to see what happens when we bring them all together.
I'm Saqib Sheikh. I lost my sight when I was 7, and shortly after that I went to a school for the blind, and that's where I was introduced to talking computers, and that really opened up a whole new world of opportunities. I joined Microsoft 10 years ago as a software engineer. I love making things which improve people's lives. And one of the things I've always dreamt of since I was at university was this idea of something that could tell you at any moment what's going on around you.
I think it's a man jumping in the air doing a trick on a skateboard.
I teamed up with like-minded engineers to make an app which lets you know who and what is around you. It's based on top of the Microsoft Intelligence APIs, which makes it so much easier to make this kind of thing. The app runs on smartphones, but also on the Pivot Head smart glasses. When you're talking to a bigger group, sometimes you can talk and talk and there's no response and you think, is everyone listening really well? Or are they half asleep? And you never know.
I see two faces, 40-year-old man with a beard looking surprised, 20-year-old woman looking happy.
The app can describe the general age and gender of the people around me and what their emotions are, which is incredible. One of the things that's most useful about the app is the ability to read out text.
Hello, good afternoon. Here's your menu.
Great, thank you. I can use the app on my phone to take a picture of the menu, and it's going to guide me on how to take that correct photo.
Move camera to the bottom right and away from the document.
And then it'll recognize the text. Read me the headings.
I see appetizers, salads, paninis, pizzas, pastas.
Years ago, this was science fiction. I never thought it would be something that you could actually do. But artificial intelligence is improving at an ever faster rate. And I'm really excited to see where we can take this. As engineers, we're always standing on the shoulders of giants, building on top of what went before. And in this case, we've taken years of research from Microsoft Research to pull this off.
I think it's a young girl throwing an orange frisbee in the park.
For me, it's about taking that far-off dream and building it one step at a time. I think this is just the beginning.
So yeah, I think it's pretty impressive and I really can't wait for the product to be done. Yeah. So why use Microsoft Cognitive Services? First of all, because it's easy. As we showed you, it's like out of the box. You don't have to have machine learning expertise. You don't have to, don't need a PhD.
In big data.
In big data, yeah. You can just call the REST APIs or use the SDKs and build it in your apps. Then second, it's flexible. Because these are REST APIs, it's platform agnostic, so you can use them with different platforms. And third, quality. The same technology that we are presenting you now, it's the technology behind our own products. So we're really investing a lot of time and making sure that the quality is great. Microsoft Research works together with the product teams and yeah, just ensuring that the quality stays high. Exactly. So thank you. We made it so that we also have time for questions now. Please feel free to ask us also on Twitter or, yes, we also have a workshop.
Yes, we have
this
a workshop
Thursday,
right?
Yeah. And if you want more hands-on experience to do a bit of coding, learn more how to use the Cognitive Services APIs, how to build your own bot using Luis, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah. And all the demos are available on GitHub as well, so you can download them, play around with it yourself. And if you have any questions about those demos, feel free to contact us anyway.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any
questions? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How much?
So it depends always on the service that you're using. But let's take a look because.
Well, you share them actually. So it's depending on the service. Each service has a free tier, and then that could be either 10,000 calls or 5,000 calls or just 1,000 call. So it very much depends on the service itself. And then you start paying after that. So it's really dependent on the service, but each one of them has a free tier.
Pricing, here should be all the information. So, okay.
So for the example, the academic API, you can have 10K free calls, so 10,000 free calls available. Whereas the image search only has 1,000 free, I think.
And also when you first try it out, you don't need an Azure subscription, so you can just sign in with your Outlook account and just write. Yes.
Currently, you are focusing on capabilities that humans already have, recognizing faces, recognizing emotions. But I know there are some some research projects that go beyond that by using, for example, speech recognition to diagnose, for example, Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. Do you have similar projects?
We do have similar projects, but they're under NDA, so we can't talk about them.
Okay.
Other questions? Yes?
Is there a way to reduce the vocabulary of the speech-to-text model to increase the confidence?
For that, you can use CRIS, so this custom recognition intelligence system, and you can really teach it like the language. If you have certain vocabulary that's not very common, you can use it there. You can just upload all your data that you have, and you can train this model.
So yeah, CRIS does that, basically.
Okay. Yes?
Which language is the text
recognition? The text recognition, let's
find out. Some of them have a lot of language support, some of them only have a few. So for example, Lewis only has English, Spanish, and I think, oh, I can't remember the last one.
Does it? Where do I find the information?
Down?
Here.
Yeah.
So this is for speech recognition.
It's not German. Yeah, that's good.
German is there. And for text-to-speech, I think here are more. Yes.
Yeah.
So we have English, Chinese, Japanese, German, French, Portuguese, Italian, Spanish, and Russian right now. And we are, of course, product team is always working on it and expanding it. But it's, yeah, we are still at the beginning, and depending on how many customers want to use it, then we are prioritizing that country.
Any other questions? Yeah?
About the last product video that we saw, how long is actually this product? Is it like in development still?
It's in development, yes.
No, what you saw wasn't a concept, it's all real, but it's still in development. It's not fully available for everyone yet.
Okay, because, for example, this exactly the girl throwing a frisbee and stuff like that. I work with like computer vision algorithms, and I know that this detection is really hard to do, actually. Mm-hmm. So if it's
So that's one of the limitations.
It's really impressive.
Yeah. So, you can also try out the vision API, because you also get this description. So when I tried before, here, the computer vision, when I uploaded a picture with someone skateboarding, it actually, received back a text describing.
So the challenge with that is being able to capture that exact moment at the right time. You could miss it. It's possible that you swipe at the wrong time.
That the classifier was trained on, actually. Because if you've seen skateboards before, you're going to classify it properly.
Yeah.
But if you haven't seen frisbees, then you won't get frisbee as a response. Right?
I think it's been trained on those, but like I said, the challenge is being able to capture it at the exact moment that someone's jumping, which is probably never going to happen. I mean, if you think more practically, you're just going to take a picture of a still scenario. Okay, what's going on around me? Where is the nearest shop?
Maybe like a video and then just try to summarize this.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Something like that, yeah. Anything else? Okay, great. Well, we'll be around afterwards, so you can come find us and ask us more questions if you want. So thank you very much.
Thank you.